Well, the reading was read earlier on, and two kings were mentioned in that reading. Can any of the girls and boys tell me who those two kings were? Perhaps somebody can tell me who one of them was, first of all. If you know, would you put your hand up?
Anybody going to tell me who one of those kings was?
I don't believe nobody knows. I may need to ask an adult then. None of the children know at all. I don't believe it. John Gallagher, do you know who one of the kings was? King Herod was one of the kings. Thank you very much. Now, who was the other king in that story? Yes. It was King Jesus, of course. King Herod and King Jesus. And I think I need a King Herod this morning. I see Professor Ken Taylor at the back. Ken, can you go and help me, please? I think you make a very good King Herod this morning. And I'll need some more helpers later on. So if the children want to gather around the front. And perhaps, Ken, you can give your jacket to Richard Buse as you come up, because you won't need it. Now, do you want to put that on in front of the forward like that?
Thank you, John.
Just great, of course. Do you want to get a different chair? Thanks. There he is, King Herod. King Herod, who is the lordly king. Doesn't he look grand there? And just so we don't forget who he is, we'll label him like that. The lordly King Herod, Ken Taylor. And Herod was a lordly king. He was called Herod the Great. Yes, in some ways he was generous, and yet he was also somebody who was suspicious and cruel and nasty and callous. Yes, sometimes he'd let people off the taxes at different times when times were hard. And actually, in 25 BC, he even melted down his own gold plate so he could buy corn for those who were starving, his own people. He was a great builder as well. He built fortresses and theatres and monuments. He erected and he refurbished buildings. It's no wonder he looked so lordly and so keen and happy to be King Herod. You know, he even started to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And in fact, that wasn't completed 68 years after he died. But yes, he was lordly and generous in one level. But also, I'm sorry to say, that King Herod, the lordly king, was also very cruel. He murdered his wife. He murdered three of his sons. He murdered his mother-in-law. I don't know why that makes you laugh, but he murdered his mother-in-law, his brother-in-law, his uncle, and many others. And of course, if you look on to verse 16, he also murdered all those little baby boys in Bethlehem. He did what he wanted. He was a lordly king. Indeed, he was so much his own man that he did whatever he wanted on marriage as well. He was married at least 9 different times. And he's also aware. But when he died, because of some of his cruelty, he would not be mourned. There wouldn't be many people crying when he died. And therefore, when he's on his deathbed, he made sure that some of the good and great were collected from Jerusalem. And as he expired his last, he ordered his commanders to execute those who'd been gathered up, because he wanted one or two people to cry when he died. He realized how unpopular he was. Yes, he was somebody who was a lordly king. But look, will you, at verses 1 to 3, because it talks there about how after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews?" You see, it's not just lordly King Herod here in his throne. No, there was another king as well. They'd seen his star in the east. They wanted to come and worship him. And verse 3, notice what happened. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. He was disturbed because he was worried that he might get thrown off his throne, that another king was going to move in. And all of Jerusalem was disturbed because they realized how his moods fluctuated. He was a maverick. And they were afraid that he might vent his anger on them. Now, of course, they tried to find out where this king was to be born. And there were, if you look down, those who he sought, the chief priests and teachers of the law. And he said, look, where is this one to be born? Where is he going to be found? And yes, they came up with the answer from the Old Testament that he was going to be found in Bethlehem, in the land of Judea. And yet those religious leaders didn't bother at all about it. They went on doing their own thing. They didn't go to find this new king, King Jesus. And you know, exactly the same happened today. There are some people, perhaps some people in church this morning, who, like those religious leaders, those religious teachers, were ignoring Jesus. They just weren't bothered. So then there are people like King Herod here on his throne, people who opposed Jesus, because Herod was determined to wipe Jesus out, and he wanted to go after him. And all his inquiries with the Magi was in fact not true. He didn't want to come and worship the king, no, he wanted to murder him, as we discover later on. King Herod, the lordly king, we'll ask him to stay there because he's a very good visual aid. Herod the Great. I wonder whether we need to learn. Are we like Herod, perhaps opposing the king? Or are we perhaps like those religious teachers, ignoring the king? But there's another king as well, and I'd like another helper. Can I have somebody who's sort of 12 or 13 come and help me? Why don't we have your sister? She's a bit taller. Come and help me up here. There's also the lowly king, King Jesus. Can you hold that up there? Of course, the wise men find their way to Jesus because of the Old Testament scriptures and because of the star. And they find Jesus, the child, verse 11, in a house. They find the child with Mary, his mother. And it must have been so ordinary. Here are these men, they travel miles from the east, and they find the king of the Jews in a small house with an ordinary mother. How extraordinary that the king Jesus, should be found in those circumstances. If you and I had been walking past, we wouldn't have given Jesus a second look. But actually, he was the King of Kings. Now, I want to give one or two other people some gifts now, because I want to think in a moment about the gifts which the Magi brought to Jesus. But why don't I pick on one or two other people? Let's give Richard Buse a gift, shall we? It is Christmas Day, and he's worked very hard these last months. Richard, come over here. And now, it's very important, isn't it, when we choose gifts, to choose appropriate gifts. I'm sure you can't guess what would be an appropriate gift for Richard. We'd like to unwrap that. Perhaps Gene Turner could come down as well. Now, isn't that a brilliant gift for Richard Buse? So appropriate, because all his spare time he spends playing tennis, and he's even been known to be reading books on tennis in the vestry every now and then. Tennis is his great love. Now, how about something for Gene Turner? Now, Gene, you may have one of these already, but let's see. Isn't that appropriate? I mean, Jean's a wonderful cook. I thought she might need another rolling pin, but really, the reason I gave her this, I know she has three difficult boys to control at home. That's David, Richard and Robert, so I thought that would be an appropriate gift for Jean. Now, where's Ross van der Brock? He's our lay assistant. He's somewhere in here. Ross, come forward. I've got something for you. These are very appropriate gifts. I'm sure you agree. Now, Ross, open this as you come up. Quickly. Ross is brilliant. He opens the buildings, he cleans, he helps in so many different ways. Now, a Gillette razor. Now, why is that so appropriate, you ask yourself on Christmas morning? Well, let me let you into a secret. That is that Ross does not always shave before he comes to work. So I thought it would be very good for him to have a razor to start the new year. Appropriate gifts, a rolling pin, a razor, and a tennis racket. Would you like to go and sit down now? Thank you very much. But then the presents which the Magi brought to Jesus when they came to worship him were also very appropriate. Yes, they brought wonderful gifts. gifts which were going to be useful, but also gifts which were meaningful. They had meaning for Jesus' life and ministry. Now let me pick somebody. I think I'll have Nick Alexander up mid. He's fairly strong. Used to play in the first 15 of one of the best university rugby sides. And Nick, you need to be very strong. I hope you've limbered up this morning. Right. Can you take that gently? It's very heavy. Right, so if you turn around, you can see what you've got there. Now unwrap it, can you? Just look at that, a solid block of gold. Can you see that, girls and boys? Gold, now just stand there holding it. Can you manage it for a few moments? Stand alongside King Herod over there. Great. And gold was such an appropriate gift to bring to Jesus. Of course, the verse 2, they came, didn't they, saying, "Where is he who's born King of the Jews?" At verse 6, that prophecy is spoken about the one who's going to be the shepherd of my people Israel, the one who's going to be the king of Israel. And then verse 11, there they bring Jesus gold. And gold throughout the Bible is always seen as a sign of kingship, of royalty. And therefore, gold was such an appropriate gift to give to Jesus. And I want somebody else to help me unwrap a present. Any volunteers? Thank you, you come help me. Great. Now, could you unwrap that? Well done. Oh, well done. Now, let's get you to smell this. How does it smell of that? What does it smell like? Well, let me tell you, it's frankincense. It smells like frankincense. Do you want to hold that a moment? It's a bit smelly, I know, but you hold it there. It's very helpful. Thank you. And incense, frankincense, was also such an appropriate gift for them to bring to the newborn Jesus. Incense was used in the temple as a symbol of prayer. It pointed to the fact that men and women could have a relationship with God. And of course it was used by the priests. Day by day, they would be offering and burning incense. And that gift pointed ahead to who Jesus was, because he wasn't just a king, he was also the high priest. The high priest who could be the mediator between men and women like you and I, and girls and boys who are sinful, and a holy God. Jesus Christ, the great high priest, hence the incense. You see, this lowly king was much more than you'd ever guess. He was somebody who was the high priest. He was somebody who was the king. Let's have somebody else open a present. Who hasn't put a hand up? Let's have somebody. Let's have a girl, shall we? Come on then. Come on this side. Right, let's go this side then. Do you want to open that for me? I hope the Gallagher parents won't be too appalled what I've just given their daughter. Thank you very much. Here's a bottle of embalming fluid. Now, do you know what embalming fluid is for? You don't. Thank you very much. You just hold that so everybody can see it. Great, thank you. Don't hold it too much. It's very heavy. Put it on the ground. It's a bit heavy for you, isn't it? You see, myrrh was used to embalm bodies. And it was an amazing thing, wasn't it, to give Mary and Jesus and Joseph myrrh. Because it's like giving parents a coffin. It was used to anoint the dead. It was appropriate though, because Jesus was born to die. The name Jesus means a saviour. Think about those gifts. Gold for royalty. Then there's the incense, which points to divinity and Jesus being that great high priest. Then there's the myrrh, if you like, the embalming fluid, which points to Jesus' mortality, that he was born to die. I wonder, is that how you see Jesus? Do you see him, I hope, not just as a lowly king? I hope you see him also as somebody who's royal, divine, and indeed the king who was born to die. So where does that leave us this morning? Yes, there might be some people like my good friend King Herod here who are opposing Jesus. I hope that nobody here is doing that, even if they're doing it in sophisticated 20th century ways. Perhaps there are other people like those religious leaders who, yes, they enjoy the fun of Christmas, but in reality, you're ignoring Jesus. Much better to be like these magi, these three men who came to Jesus, because they came seeking and worshipping. And it's true today still, but wise men, wise women, are people who seek and worship the Lord Jesus. Let's, as we just stand, pray for a moment. So I want to thank you so much for the Christmas story. Thank you for the way those gifts point to Jesus' true identity. Thank you that he was the King, that he was God, and that he was born to die. May that rejoice our hearts, not just today, but throughout our lives. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.